Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And wow, Mac Show time. So, I hope there's something we can talk about today.
Yeah, been looking forward to this all week.
You know, I have too. Yep. I could just see the day getting closer and closer, and I could just visualize the whole conversation.
Me too.
Yep. Ben, how are you doing?
I am great, Jeff. Ready to be here on an awesome Friday talking about the Mac and those other Apple things that are lesser.
Oh, Ben, you're awesome. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing really well. I'm getting ready to move, and I'm getting ready for my business trip to Portugal next week, to Lisbon.
Oh, fun!
And Pride Parade tomorrow in Vienna.
Awesome.
And yeah, it's a packed week basically. I'm gonna have next week, my next 7 days. So it means I will not be here next week probably, but yeah, looking forward to all of that.
Awesome. Well, if you're not here next week, we will do our best to fumble through explaining the chat.
Maybe I should write you a script or something.
Maybe you can pre-record it. We could play it back.
That is an idea. I'll do. Actually, yeah. We don't need that. You can literally just pick any episode and just cut it out.
Just
and
edit
have
paste.
just have Tom edit it out of one of the episodes.
Yeah, I was about to say, Patrice, you know how I do with scripts.
That is true. Yeah, I know. I do know that.
Yeah, you have a track record.
You do, but it's funny, so I don't mind.
Yeah.
I mean, we might have to add an explicit tag to the show then, but
thought already had that
beginning. Yeah. Okay, and Dave, you're looking awesome, and I say that because I was not expecting you to be here today.
Yes, I was. I had a early morning eye doctor appointment and got good news and didn't have to get a shot in my eye. So
nice.
But I'm wearing these glasses only because my pupils are from the dilation. But good to be here. Glad to be here. And always it's Friday, and always thrilled to be with all of you.
Awesome. Well, it's a pleasant surprise that you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
And Chuck, how are you?
I am great, Jeff. I am great. I'm trying to get into the chat room at the moment, but other than that little hiccup, life is good. It's raining here. It's a beautiful gray day, just like I like it.
Nice. And good luck with the chat room. It's weird that it won't let you in.
I know. I know.
It must be a filter. Chuck filter.
Got a few people in
Chuck
there. Vader. In there.
Yeah, we got a bunch of people in the chat. It's quite nice.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, we have a big important topic we want to talk about today.
We do.
Yes, me.
That's right. We're all here to discuss Ben.
You're not,
Ben's
Ben, you're not that big. So Ben's awesomeness is quite big. That's true.
Yeah. Yes, Ben's awesomeness is big. And Ben's amazing. But, enough about Ben. Ben, what do you think about Ben?
I think he is the best who has ever been.
The best Ben who's ever been.
And that's
yes.
This week's show. Thanks for joining us.
Yep. Oh, yeah, blah, 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 TSO host, blah, 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 blah. They're awesome.
Yep. Chef. Yep. So actually, the big thing that that we've been champing at the bit to talk about is Vision Pro, because we needed some time to really digest the whole thing, and so now it's time for us to have that discussion.
Yeah, I mean, there have been a bunch of podcasts, there have been a bunch of people who've gotten to actually experience it and have talked / written / both about that. So I really needed the time to really think about it and conceptualize what this is, because I mean, the initial reaction is one thing to say, wow, this looks awesome, but then to really think about it, what does it mean? That takes time. I mean, I don't think we have done it yet, even like 2 weeks hasn't been enough.
I think we won't be able to really do that until this ships next year.
Yeah.
And probably even beyond that. I mean, if you look at the Apple Watch, how long did it take us to really grasp what it was and what it wasn't? I mean, probably another year, maybe mm-hmm. even longer.
Yeah, more than that.
Yeah, but if we start just from like, I mean, I hope a lot most listeners have at this point seen or heard what it is. But if you just start with the hardware alone, like not even talking about the software side of things that we'll probably get to, it's quite an interesting or quite a remarkable feat of engineering. If you really think about it, it's basically a MacBook Air strap or an iPad or something strapped to your face mm-hmm. because it is a computer. It has an M2 mm-hmm. chip in it. It has not just an M2 chip. It has the R1 in addition yeah. for all the real-time stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, minus the battery, it is a computer strapped to your face, to your eyeballs, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when Apple started talking about this as a new platform,
mm-hmm.
they weren't kidding. Just like when the iPhone launched, that was a new platform.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happening here, and a lot of people. And I totally understand why. A lot of people are equating Vision Pro with another VR headset, and it has characteristics of a VR headset, mm-hmm. but this is not a yeah. VR headset in that sense. That, like you said, yeah. this is a laptop that straps to your face.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, and it's similar to the iPhone. I mean, what you said, like the iPhone had some other phones that did things. Like you had some Motorola's, you had some Nokia's, you had for sure BlackBerry that was doing some interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing is true here. I mean, there is the Meta Quest Pro, for example. There is some similarities to it for sure. Like it's trying to solve similar problems, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But just like we had to educate ourselves and others about don't think of the iPhone as a phone, mm-hmm. I think we're going to have the same situation here. Don't think of the Vision Pro as a VR or AR, just a mm-hmm. VR or just an AR device. Mm-hmm. It's so much more than that. And it took us all a while to figure that out. And, mm-hmm. and the watch to a maybe a little bit lesser degree. As apps came available and different things evolved, that you know, okay, it found its place, mm-hmm. and I think that's going to be a big trick here. There was the one article that I can't remember if we discussed it or not, but there was the one article that you know some idiot wrote that said, you know, well, you know, my favorite VR headset is, you know, the Meta Quest. You know, it's like $300 or something. It's like no, you know,
this isn't what that is.
They're not the same thing. They're not even close to the same thing.
Yeah, I did look into that for the Context Machine last week, and I looked at the Vision Pro, the Meta Quest Pro especially, to see like how that compares, and there are some similarities for sure, but there is like a massive difference in capabilities. And as you said, we have to educate ourselves in what this is. And it is first and foremost an AR product. It can do VR. Apple, that's why Apple doesn't call it either. They say it is mm-hmm. a spatial computing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying it can go either way. But the default, and that's something that a lot of reviewers that like had the chance to try it, pointed out, it starts in AR. You can go into full-on VR if you want to, if it's appropriate, but it always starts on the VR side, sorry, on the AR side.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, you are in your environment. It looks exactly like you're, like whatever you're sitting, standing, wherever you are, and then you start adding to it. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference.
one thing that I haven't seen, I know it got some coverage, okay, but it seems like it's just being grossly overlooked, and that is the hand gestures to control mm-hmm. it, that there mm-hmm. is nothing you put in your hands, there's nothing you have to grab or try to feel around for on your desk or, you know, wherever, mm-hmm. that, you know, you just, you learn the gestures, and because of some of the extra cameras that are always watching your hands, they know what the gestures are. And yeah. so, you know, how many of you have strapped on some VR goggles or AR goggles and you want to do something except move around, you know, turn your head.
And even that, yeah.
The world. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you want to battle a dragon or, you know, something, you have to put something in your hand. And mm-hmm. you don't have that. And that's yeah. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. And I mean, there's the hand gestures, which is one thing. And there's like a very limited set. Like, it's basically just the basics you need that you, and you can remember, because I mean, if there's like a million hand gestures, like, I mean, who's going to remember them? But it's like, I think 6, and that's enough. And everything else is like, I mean, you can just touch something, like literally. And it, I mean, it does it. Like if you touch a window or whatever and drag something, it does it. And like from what I've seen, like a lot of reviewers talked about it, and they said it felt very natural after, like for sure the initial 5-10 minutes, because in the beginning you have to remember, oh, like it's this gesture, and then it felt very natural after that. And I think that's the big difference. And you're right. I mean, that we don't even, like, nobody talked about it. How, I mean, and it's not even you have to hold it out or like do some really strange thing. You can literally be sitting like as you're sitting normally, and just small movements will do the thing you want. Like have the hands in your lap and just do this, and that's it.
I mean, they had the virtual keyboard too, so you can pretty mm-hmm. much immerse yourself with your Mac. I mean, having the big screen in front of you, I mean, you can have a 100-inch mm-hmm. screen virtually mm-hmm. on your headset. That just blows my mind.
The fact you can have a 1,000-inch screen on your head.
Yeah, you can have as big a screen as you want, and you can move, and you can move windows around. I mean, being able to, I mean, we know Macs don't have touch screens, and you know, the experience on a Windows machine isn't that great when it comes to touch screens, mm-hmm. but to be able to virtually move things around on a very large screen, who needs a monitor in the mm-hmm. on their desk at that point? Yeah. But I'd be mm-hmm. curious to see how that works. But I was impressed with that piece too.
And there is still controller support. Basically everything we know that you can connect to your iPad, to your Mac, whatever, like the wireless keyboards that we have, or I'm not sure about the trackpad, but I mean that might even be possible. But for sure, the keyboard and the game controllers and so on, they work. So if you want, like if there is a use case for some sort of controller, whatever that is, could be a pencil, for example, it's not a problem. You just use it as you would. I mean, probably you don't even need an Apple Pencil. You can probably just use a normal pencil because like now I can track it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and to be perfectly honest, I don't think it would take Apple that much to support existing VR controllers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really no reason to talk about that the way Apple does controller support until they're actually getting ready to ship the product.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you think back to what Steve Jobs said about the iPhone and about your fingers, and I mean, it has been misquoted a couple of times where he said, like they would have never done a pencil. No, that was not true. He just said like it didn't require one, and it's the same thing here. It does not require a controller. Doesn't mean you can't use one if you want to or need to. Like the virtual keyboard, I saw some people comment on it like, it's going to work and it's going to be awful and whatever. I'm like, then just use a regular, like in VR mode, you can literally see this keyboard. Like it's not hidden or anything, unless you put a window right in front of it. But why would you do that? And you can literally use this keyboard. So what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like this, that the hardware, like all the sensors and like, the things they get to do with that hardware. I mean, scanning your, like they even figure out your the expressions of your face so that they can use it for that, what's it called? Persona, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that is like, I mean, they scan your face to get like initially, I think during setup to get like your face. But then when you're talking to someone, like all the micro expressions in your face and all of that gets translated into that virtual persona. So it's not that you have like a cartoon and like there's like static face.
It's not a cartoon thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is, I mean, every little thing on the hardware side is really impressive if you think about it, how much work had to go in to get that to that level. And we haven't seen even the final thing yet.
Right. And they're packing all of that into a set of goggles that weighs about a pound and just mm-hmm. sits on your face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, there is one thing that people have commented on, the whole battery and cable thing. And I mean, from what I've heard, and I think so, it's not a problem.
Patrice, the battery, you know, the plug-in and battery thing, one of the keys, and of course, I know it was a demo video, all right? But I don't visualize myself necessarily wanting to go walking around with this
exactly
a whole lot. You know, it's like, yeah, my MacBook Pro can be wireless if I wanted to for a while, but most of the time I'm using it, or I'm using one of my Macs and they're plugged in because
exactly.
That's what they do. So, you know, now I get it on a plane or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That may become an issue. So maybe you need two battery packs. Maybe you'll be able to get an adapter to plug it into the plane's electrical system, you know? So, but you know, as a main use case, I don't see this as a critical thing. And yet everybody wants to say, oh, you know, gee, it's not comparing well to the other devices.
Because the other devices need to be wired, otherwise they don't work.
Yeah, and I have no idea.
Good point.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, and I don't know. Do any of the AR VR things that are out there now, are they wireless at all? And what kind of battery life do they have?
I think the Meta Quest Pro has the same 2-hour battery life, but on a much, much less powerful device. Like, I mean, like significantly less powerful device. I don't think it's external, but even there you can plug in. Like, I mean, it's one of the features they tout, that when you want to connect to your Windows machine, you basically have to plug in, because that's the only way. And the Windows machine has to be quite beefy, because it has to kind of do the work, because the headset can't do it. So that's the big difference, and that's the price difference for sure. But I agree with you. I mean, maybe in an office environment when you want to, I don't know, work together in something and walk around, okay, maybe. But for the most part, at least initially, I would see me sitting here or sitting over there on my sofa. And like, if there's a long cable, not a problem.
Yeah, right. You're not moving around.
And here's the other thing on that. It uses a magnetic connector, not all that different from MagSafe or the Apple Watch.
Right.
It would be unwise on Apple's part not to open that up to third parties. I mean, there could be a MetaQuest. A vision backpack that somebody makes.
Yeah, like from Anchor. Or like a donut that you can put around your neck or whatever on a plane that has like, I don't know, a 10-hour battery life. So even on a long plane flight, you're just like, it's basically your
your pillow. God, that's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, 2 hours.
Neck pillow, CPU.
Yeah. And then 2 hours also is just the battery.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 hours is just the battery that comes with it.
Yeah, and they have, I mean, Apple has not talked about that. Like, will there be replacement batteries on if that? I mean, you can for sure bet they will, because why wouldn't they? It's something they can sell. The only thing we seem to know is that the connector is proprietary. So it's kind of like a MagSafe thingy.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, because you don't want it to pop off like all the time. So USB or USB-C or anything like that, probably not a good idea.
It wouldn't surprise me if Apple does an MFI certification sort of thing for third-party charging.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's, the other thing.
So true.
The other thing that looks slightly ingenious on that, there seems to be a limited battery inside the thing. So while
Oh,
you're
I hadn't
changing
heard that.
So while you're changing battery packs, it doesn't shut off.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about that, so that's good to know. That was a question that I had, like, is there a battery in there? But okay, that makes sense. That you can basically switch from your whatever you're sitting on your sofa, it's wired in, and then you're like, oh, I want to get up and I don't know, do something else. Go to the kitchen.
Yeah, because I thought they showed a quick battery change during the presentation.
Okay, maybe I missed that. At least from the reviews, like, nobody got an answer from Apple. So the people who asked didn't get anything.
That means Apple doesn't want to say anything about that right now.
Yeah.
Which isn't a no.
You know, and don't forget, I mean, this is, for the better, a large part of a year out, you know, some of this stuff is going to be rough at the start.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, it has to be. And you know there are probably going to be features that, okay, they're going to not be ready at release time. There may be features that we haven't seen yet that are. You know, that's my one concern. As we all build it up in our minds, if we get it and it doesn't have your favorite feature yet, or that feature is challenging, then are people going to see it as all, oh, this is a failure? And I don't think so, any more than the iPhone or the Apple Watch should have been viewed as a failure if it didn't do exactly what you wanted it to day one.
Yeah. And I think that's why it's so smart to how Apple has done it. Like, they've announced the, let's say, technical capabilities to some extent, because it was a developer event. They've announced some of the things they're doing, but very specifically, they're leaving out a lot of the story still. I mean, to the point that even when all the journalists got to like try it, there were no photos allowed, which I was like, oh, that's interesting. Why would they do that? Why wouldn't they like use that as an advertising thing to say, hey, see here, Federico Vitici is wearing this, and they didn't allow it. And I'm like, that is interesting. So there's probably some stuff that they are not talking about yet.
Oh yeah, they were doing the same thing. Mike Rockwell, who was on when he was on the talk show with the Gruber. Yeah, Gruber was asking him the questions. I knew, I was sitting there watching it. I'm like, he's not going to tell you anything. And then, sure enough, it's looking over at Jaws and saying, you know, I better not say anything, or I'm going to get in trouble later. So they're being very restrictive of what they're saying. You know, this is a version 1.0 product. They're obviously still working on it. They're giving us some tastes of what's out there, but I can see what this is. And again, it's a version 1.0 product, and if we have to expect that when it does get released, just like anything we've bought. I mean, Apple Watch is the same thing. 2015, when that came out, you know, we all bought it for the first time when the Series Zero came out, but it evolved, and we bought new ones. I mean,
and that was like almost 9 months after it was announced.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it was quite a long time. And I mean, why are they doing that? I mean, one is for sure the regulatory stuff. It hasn't gone through FDA and or F no F not FDA, F- FTC.
FTC and the other FCC. One?
Yeah, exactly. The other F. Yeah, exactly. They had to go through the FDA. No, that's the one that we usually go to. So no, like, they haven't gone through that yet. The other part is that I think it's very clear. I mean, why did they announce it during WWDC? It's not because they wanted to be early and all of that. No, it's because it's a story for us developers to think about it. Like, I mean, and I'm very hard thinking about it. Like, what could I do with this?
Right.
Beyond what they have already shown. And there will be really interesting things coming out. I mean, I don't know, pCalc, probably something that like we're going to see immediately. I mean, for sure.
Of course.
Go like this with a calculator, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I mean, also because pCalc has an AR mode already.
Right, so you'll be able to be immersed in the dice you're rolling in pCalc.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, that those are obvious. Like, I mean, some of the big names and the like obvious apps we will see for sure in a version one. Like, probably very basic or very okay, this is exactly what the iPad does. But it will evolve from there. And that's the interesting part of it. Like, the hardware is very capable, the computer is very capable. The platform is very capable, and we haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah, I mean, this is a lot like the Series Zero Apple Watch, where Apple is playing the long game here. They had to get the hardware out And while it's not what they want right now, it's the first step to getting there.
Same thing with the original iPhone. I mean, yeah, when it rolled out, it had the core functionality for the three things that Apple said it was. And beyond that basic core functionality, it did very little.
And didn't even, I mean, someone mentioned, didn't even have copy and paste.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a big difference. Or an app store, yeah. There's a big difference to the iPhone, though. The Apple has a multi-platform ecosystem now. Like, I mean, back then, I would say the iPod didn't count because there was basically no software, like, game around that. Like, for sure, the iPod itself had some software in iTunes or whatever, but there was no developer software around that at all. So the Mac was the only one. And now we have, and you see that very clearly in Vision OS. Like, I mean, the iPad apps basically translate over. Like, you can run the iPad apps as is as a window. So there's a built-in app store and ecosystem already there, like before you even get to the point that there's dedicated stuff. And I think that's the big difference. Apple has a platform, has tools for the platform, has a lot of things built around it, and very cleverly in some cases. I mean, you see it now where it's like, okay, it's so obvious that like Stage Manager and so on, all of those were things that they prepared basically for this transition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chuck.
No, please. Go ahead, Jeff.
All right. So the whole thing with iPad apps running on the Vision Pro at launch, when they announced that, that to me was very intriguing and very exciting. And I could see, for someone like me who would use this primarily as a business tool and not an entertainment tool, this becomes my new display when I'm working at my Mac, generally speaking. And then when I'm doing things that previously became something for my iPad Pro, those will now happen on the Vision Pro. And which then means, when it comes time for me to replace my iPad Pro, do I get another iPad Pro, or do I pay the extra money to get a Vision Pro instead, and then just have like an iPad Mini?
Or no iPad at all, because you're like,
no iPad at all. Right.
Why do I need it?
Right. I'm just visualizing doing LumaFusion video edits.
I was gonna say.
Just right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be going like this.
Yeah. I'll just do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe that is a case where like a wirelessly connected like keyboard and trackpad is still used, and it's literally just like you see the display in front of, or you see the window in front of you, but you still use the precision of like a mouse or a pencil or whatever. Like, I mean, I said that the interesting thing here is there's all of a sudden a lot of possibilities what we can do, where we were fairly limited on the iPad, especially before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still limited by the Vision Pro. Like, there's still limits.
Yeah. I mean, Apple's ultimate end game with the Vision products is to take all the other products they have and replace them with one.
Yeah, I mean, for the Mac, it might take a long time, a long, long time. It might be that eventually we don't have a display anymore on a Mac, but the Mac is kind of a computing hub, some sort. Like, there's a lot of options. I think the Mac will probably last for a very long time, but for the iPad, I'm not so sure.
So two things, Jeff, your comment about you know, if you decide to replace an iPad with the Vision Pro. Makes me think of the number of people I know that have replaced a MacBook or an iMac with an iPad, and they suddenly found that, you know, I wasn't even opening my laptop anymore, and so I don't need it. I've got everything I need in the iPad. Some people even the phone even did some of that, depending on, you know, exactly what these people did with their machines. So I'm thinking about that, but something someone said earlier reminded me back to our, to the conversations we had when the iPhone was coming out and all the debate about, is this just, excuse me, the iPad, was the iPad just a big iPhone? Mm-hmm. And, you know, was that really worth it? And, you know, you feel like, okay, a lot of people miss the point of what an iPad could do. I mean, as far as I was concerned, I distinctly remember saying on my show that, you know, yeah, if it's a big iPhone, that's great. You know, it would be nice to have the extra screen real estate, but you knew it was going to evolve. It couldn't just stay there, or it would never have been the success it has been.
And you see a very clear trajectory. I mean, it started out with, oh, this is just a big iPhone. And it, to some extent, was. Like, the very first version, software-wise, was extremely limited.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became, oh, this is the next computer. And I think within Apple, that was what they were thinking. Like, this is the next big thing. We're going to replace, eventually, in like a long time, but we're going to replace eventually the Mac with the iPad. Like, the iPad will become as capable as the Mac, and then we will replace it. Or it will automatically get replaced because people will just, like, use the iPad all the time, and then, like, at some point they will just stop selling it. Like, the iPhone at some point replaced the iPod.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Same thing. Like, it Apple never stopped, or only stopped selling it when it really wasn't selling anymore. Nobody really cared about it anymore.
Yep.
But ironically, I think you saw like the iPad at some point stopped evolving. And I think that was the point, and I said that on the Context Machine, I think that was the point where Apple decided that the Vision Pro would be the next thing.
And ironically, with the iPad, it more replaced the $500 to $700 Windows PCs than the Mac.
Which is awesome. I mean, that in itself is still, like, it's, I'm not saying I love my iPad, and I'm not saying it's a bad device.
No, it's the computer that 90% need.
Yeah, it did serve its, and it will probably for the next foreseeable future serve its purpose. Like, it's just like, maybe in 10 years or whatever, nobody will care about the iPad anymore. Maybe. We'll see.
But Patrice, I don't want to take us too far off track here, but I personally get a little frustrated with the people who say, you know, well, I'm looking for a new laptop design. And at some point, it's like, what else can they do with it? It's a screen and a keyboard and a processor inside. And so we, you know, just because we've hit pretty much the best possible form factor, I mean, then you just start to look to the developers and say, okay, within this, not even limitations, but within this ultimate evolution of this device, what can you do? I feel like the iPad may be sort of there too. There are a couple of things they might be able to do with it, with more cameras and all. But on the other hand, then you might be talking about, you know, the Vision Pro being, you know, if you're going to add cameras to one, you might as well look at the Vision Pro. So I don't know that, I hate the word mature product, because that sounds like it's the end of the road. There's nothing else to do with it. And I don't believe that for the Mac, for the iPhone, for the iPad. Obviously not for the Vision Pro. It's just that it's getting harder to find those enhancements that will be meaningful to a large number of users.
But that's normal in the life cycle of any product. Mature product, I know what you mean when you say, I mean, it has kind of a negative connotation, but that is what in every product you've reached at some point. You have the initial phase where there's a lot to do and a lot to change, a lot to improve and all of that. And then eventually you reach a point where it kind of plateaus. It doesn't mean there's nothing you can do. It's just like all the obvious things you've done, and like everybody understands it. And I mean, we've seen this with PCs and so on. Like, I mean, I wouldn't say there is still interesting stuff happening on the PC market, even on Mac and so as well. But you've reached the peak of what makes sense to do. Like, I mean, without completely changing everything and starting over, there is not so much you can do. And that's totally fine, because you should reach that point. And then it lives on for, I mean, decades in some cases. And it gets improved, and new invention happens, a new battery tech. And like, there's still a lot going on. But it doesn't fundamentally change anymore what you're how you're using it. And that's fine. And then eventually something else comes along that might replace it. Eventually. And that might be the Vision Pro. Maybe. We'll see. I said, for the Mac, I'm thinking that's probably going to be around for a long time because I don't see why not.
Yes, I think the Mac still has a strong place in Apple's roadmap. But you are correct. Every product has a useful lifespan. And that's true for product categories.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at how technology has evolved over the last 200 years. How many things were or have been deprecated over time simply mm-hmm. because the use case for that technology, whatever it was, has evolved and it's no longer a thing.
I mean, if you think about it, a calculator is a good example. I mean, some people are still using them, but it's mm-hmm. very limited because today it's just a feature on like your computer or your phone or whatever. Or just ask your voice assistant to do the math for you. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
it's not, I mean, as I said, it's not that nobody's using it, but it's not something that most people will use.
Or point and shoot cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, even vinyl and CDs, while they are still popular with some people, a lot of people have moved on to something else. Something else came around and mm-hmm. for better or worse, people moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Although vinyl is making a comeback.
Sure. Yeah, but said, like, but it's different and it's limited in some sense. It's like mm-hmm. same thing. Like I said, I'm not saying everything goes away and it just dies. Like some stuff just lives on, but in a limited fashion. And I could see that for the Mac and to some extent maybe in the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, vinyl, you know, vinyl, as far as in my humble opinion, is more of a nostalgia play.
Yeah.
You know, and just like there are groups out there dedicated to, you know, Apple II forever. And I mean, good for them. Mm-hmm. If that's what they want to do, then, you know, I have no problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of mm-hmm. think you're, you know, and I know plenty of, I guess we, well, maybe not everybody here has hit the age where, you know, people I went to high school with now are driving their dream car from high school, mm-hmm. which is, yeah. you know, vintage. And it's like, okay, that's great, but A, it's a gas guzzler. B, it doesn't have half the creature comforts that modern cars right. have. But you know, they wanted to see themselves in that car, and right. so yeah. you know.
And now they've done it, and now it's like, okay.
Well, what's next? or in some cases, Patrice, no, that's they're there, that's and that's yeah. it, and good okay. for them. You know, if that makes yeah. you happy. But don't ask the rest of us to you know get stuck there.
Yeah, exactly. And as I said, like that's the trajectory I'm seeing. As I said, I'm seeing the iPad more at risk because it's a newer platform compared to the others. So there's not as much ingrained stuff in it yet. But again, like I don't see it dying tomorrow. Like this is a longer term transition probably. But for me, it's very clear that on the software side, at least, even on the hardware side, I think Apple made a decision and simply said, no, this is not where we're going.
I think you're right. And I think Apple is tipping their hand by making sure that iPad apps can run on Vision Pro in addition to whatever Vision Pro native apps mm-hmm. are yeah. going to be yeah. available.
I mean, that could also be because there were simply more iPad apps. I mean, what was the alternative? I mean, either start with nothing or use Mac apps. And I think there's probably at this point more iPad apps than Mac apps.
Well, yeah. And I think that iPad apps, the interface design translates better to Vision Pro True. Than
yeah.
A Mac interface.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good point. Yeah.
That and these days, it's not all that hard to convert any kind of apps to one of the other platforms.
Yeah, but again, the newer the platform, the easier it is. mm-hmm. Like porting AppKit to the Vision Pro is probably harder. than doing it with Swift and UIKit and Swift UI and so on. So there's probably a little bit of both. Like Apple seeing this is the transition, this is the platform, but also, yeah, it makes sense. We have a built-in app store already. This works. It runs. It's Windows that are big and scalable. So why not?
Yep.
Yeah. Like on the software side, like the Vision OS, that is also like a fairly interesting thing. Like, I mean, we've talked about the hardware and a little bit of the transition. I think that's the area where Apple hasn't shown their hands yet. They talked a little bit about it, like what you can do, but I mean, mostly they talked about how you can use it. They've shown some things like with the app grid, for example, and like dragging around windows and scaling them and stuff like that, and the virtual keyboard. But I think from what we've seen in the reviews, how fast and how stable that is. Like, I mean, if you've ever used AR, any AR thing on your iPhone, it was kind of crude. I mean, like the IKEA app, I think, is a good example. Or even the Measure app from Apple. Like, it was kind of unstable. It was kind of crude. You could tell immediately that it was kind of wrong. And it was okay. And from what you've heard during, like, the demos, that was not the case at all. It was super fast, super stable. Like, if you put a window somewhere and you walked around, it did not even wobble. It stayed, and you could probably leave the room and come back, and it would be exactly at the same point. It did not move around. And if you reached out to it to change it, you reached to it exactly. And that is the crazy part. Is that I don't think we've seen the true capabilities of the system, the software behind it yet.
I agree. And Apple hasn't even released the SDK that they said is coming. And I think part of that is because they're probably still working on it. But I think there's things in the SDK that they're not ready to tell people about today. But you know what we are ready to tell people about?
TSO
Host. It's true. TSO Host is awesome because they are here helping us bring shows to you every single week. They are giving us the bandwidth to be able to live stream shows multiple times a week. They are giving us the hosting space so that there's a place for the website to live and for all of the show recordings to live, so that you can see what's going on, what's coming up, and to be able to go and watch or listen to your favorite episodes whenever you want. Without their help, without their support, we would not be here. The resources it takes to do this, it's beyond what we would be able to make happen. So when I say we are here because TSO Host is helping us out, absolutely true. Their generosity makes it possible for us to do all of this for all of you. And we're really happy about that. Now, what we need to do to make sure that they know we appreciate them is go out on social media and thank TSO Host for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. And that's all you need to do. But because they are a company that does web hosting and helps with live streaming, buying domain names, all of that stuff, you can take advantage of that as well, just because you're a BTN fan, or if you like to think of yourself as part of the family, you are part of the BTN family. Hugs to all of you. They're going to do a little something to help take care of you too. If you need to buy domain names, if you want to get some web hosting, hit them up. Go and add all your stuff into your cart at their website, and then add in the discount code BTN20, and you're going to get 20% off your order. So not only are they making it possible for us to be here, they're helping you save a little bit of money too as a BTN fan. So thank you, TSL host, for being here and supporting us. And Patrice, can you please tell people where to find the live chat, which also includes the link to the Context Machine episode that you've referenced today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of really good content in the chat. Magic Man just pointed out, I mean, we haven't even talked about like half of the features of the Vision Pro, because like the whole prescription lenses thing and how that works is quite interesting, mm-hmm. especially when you're wearing eyeglasses, like I think most of us are. I mean, I know actually all five of us do, because like I'm wearing contacts right now. So like that's super important. And like all of that awesome content is in our chat, including links to like, there was an IMDb link for something. I don't know what that was for. But like probably was relevant at that point. And like, there's a really awesome live chat that you can join. And if you're listening to this live, which you can do every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time, for the Mac show and for the big show, if you're into the non-Apple side of things, if you want to talk about a MetaQuest Pro, for example, or chip technology, like, or gaming or cars or any space, any other kind of technology, then join the big show on Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time. And yeah, when you're doing that, head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com to talk to us live. It's that easy. And you will be able to join all the awesome people in our chat today and talk to them about the like the things we haven't talked about on the show. It's just too much. But let's say you are listening to this in the recorded form in your favorite podcast player of choice. And you're like, oh, I want that to get that IMDb link that Tom posted. And I want to get the Context Machine link. And I want to get maybe also the cool things that are coming up. Then it's super easy to still get to the chat, at least the transcript. Like for sure, you can't join the live chat because that's done. We've done recording unless you have a temporal subspace conduit of some sort. If you do that, then that might be possible, but usually it's not. But we still have the transcript for you. And you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat for that. And when you've done that, you will see a calendar that pops up and you have to pick a date, and you pick today's date as we're recording this, which is the 16th of June. Almost forgot the month. June 16th, 2023. And if you do that, then you will see everything that we've talked about.
Awesome, Patrice. Thank you for doing that. Okay, so clearly, Vision Pro is a huge topic because we just went on for most of the show on this one topic, and mm-hmm. we still haven't hit tons of things that matter related to the whole Vision Pro thing. So I think it's safe to say we will be talking more about Vision Pro on future episodes. Mm-hmm. And my guess is that it will be something that comes up a lot, especially after the product starts shipping.
Hell
yes.
But what we need to do now are cool things. And Ben did a preemptive strike and dropped in his cool thing already. So Ben, tell us about your cool thing. And I'm shocked, I say, that you would pick something like this.
Well, what can I say, Jeff? Yesterday was the season 2 premiere of Star Trek Strange New Worlds. If you like things TOS, but just a little bit older, we'll give you Klingons, we'll give you augments, we'll give you everything that you wanted, including Pike and Spock. And number one.
Mm-hmm. And that first episode of season 2, so much fun.
Epic. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. I will yep. give no spoilers.
Gotta go watch the Ready yep. Room too.
Yes.
No, I have not done that yet.
Yep, I still need to watch the Ready Room for that episode.
Ethan Peck was on.
Yep, get your popcorn and get your cup of blood wine.
I'll stick to popcorn.
I'm you know, Spock. Yeah, it's only 10 in the morning here. I believe that's just a little early for blood wine.
Hogwash, Jeff. It's 6 p.m. here, so you can drink right away.
Well, then let me give you a big honking kapla.
Yeah. Hey, what Klingon has ever worried what time it was before drinking blood wine?
Klingons, they're all about time. Because they're always watching to find out if it's a good day to die.
I was about to say only the ones on Borath.
Okay, that's fair. They very much are paying attention to time. Yep.
There's so many inside jokes flying around here.
Yeah, there are. But you know, if you're into Trek, you know. Okay. Awesome pick. Everyone go watch season two, and then and then clearly we all need to go watch the Ready Room.
Oh yes.
Okay. If you've already watched it, Ben, you need to go watch it again, because the rule is we're all going to go watch Ready Room.
Exactly.
Okay.
Works for me.
Dave, tell us about your cool thing.
I found this company, Zvox. It's actually a U.S. company based in Massachusetts, and I never knew about them before until I found out about them. They're a leader in voice clarifying technology for speakers. And I have this little Bluetooth speaker. I have it right here. It's the AV70. This is a portable Bluetooth, this Acu voice speaker. It is pretty amazing. It has a really good clear voice sound. I almost wanted to put it on today to listen to see how you guys sound through Zoom. It's got a real clear microphone built into it. Super lightweight. And then you got the woofer that's in here on the back that gives you some good clarity of music too if you want. So really it's an all-in-one type of device. Very impressed with it. You definitely hear voices a lot clearer, especially if when you're on meetings. You know, we're working on meetings all the time. Super impressed with this. They have a deal right now where there are two deals here actually. There's a code you can use, AV70, and the price is right now $99. It'll bring the price down to $59.99 for the speaker. And then if you also are interested, they also have a deal if you get this speaker, or you can get a headset or an earbud set, which has also got the voice clarity technology. You get both for $99.99. But this is I'm very impressed with this little guy, and nice. I might it's going to be using it probably more with my meetings. So.
Cool.
Pretty cool.
And nice deal with that discount code.
Yeah, AV70. Mm-hmm. It's very only good cool. Through the end of June.
All right, so hop to it, people.
Yep.
Cool. All right, Patrice, your turn.
My turn. So my cool thing is really cool, really nerdy. So I think all of us here are using Markdown in some shape or form. Some of you might be using IA Writer. So what if I told you there was a way to write a Markdown file that turns into a presentation? Ooh. And that is what IA Presenter is. So basically, you write a kind of a Markdown file. There's some additional syntax you probably need, like some images and animations and so on. But it is, for the most part, a plain text Markdown file. And that gets turned into a presentation that you can use for your webinars or for your whatever company presentation or all of that. Like, it's really impressive. I've been on the beta for a while. And I mean, I've used it for like small stuff here and there. Because usually I don't do many presentations where I need like something like that. A lot of it is code for me or just text. But I love IA Writer, and this was like a no-brainer. And I don't even remember what it cost, but it wasn't super expensive.
So like $89, you can get a lifetime.
Yeah, a lifetime. And I said, like, for the people in our circles that are doing presentations more often and love doing Markdown notes and stuff, that might be an easy and interesting way how to do that. Very structured really as well, cool. Because like you can just write down your outline and everything in a text file.
That's really cool.
Cool.
And IA Writer, I used to use it all the time.
I still use it.
And I don't even remember why I stopped. There doesn't matter. But it's a great product. So this is like really intriguing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, when I saw it, when they first announced the beta, I'm like, okay, I mean, like, just show it to me. Like, I want to have it.
That's really cool.
There's that.
Awesome. All right, so far, kick ass cool things. So no pressure, Chuck.
Well, I hope you all will think that this is a kick-ass cool thing. This is a book copyright 2014, which makes it interesting. This is called Haunted Empire, Apple After Steve Jobs. I've just finished listening to this a short time ago, and I found the storytelling. No, that's it's not a story. Okay, it's obviously an examination of Apple at a particular point in time. That part was really, really interesting. The problem I had with it was the conclusions that the author drew at that time, because you had the distinct impression that there was a bit of an agenda here to maybe justify the title, that Steve's influence was maybe a negative effect, having a negative effect on Tim Cook. And so this book is really interesting, I think, to go through in light of what has happened since. So if if you are interested in those days, I mean, it definitely gives you some insight into Tim and to how Apple did what it did as it got over losing Steve as the chief visionary. So it's one of those books that I want to recommend it, and I do recommend it if you go in with the right mindset and recognize that, okay, this is a snapshot in time of the way things were then, and then compare it to what has happened since.
I mean, it's always a story, right? I mean, no matter who tells it, it's always a story and it's never complete. So it's always a perspective of someone,
Yeah, but especially, I mean, not just that, Patrice, but especially from the standpoint of this being a point in time, because of the you're right, the story, okay, the next chapter, the next season is to be written yet. But yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it. Again, I take issue with some of the conclusions that were drawn, and I'll let you take a look at that for yourself, if you decide to go this direction. But if nothing else, just if you're an Apple enthusiast, it's just one more look into how Apple was at that time. So, I don't know, Jeff, if you'll consider that kick-ass or not, but I would tell anybody that's interested in Apple that this is worth their time from an information just and an entertainment standpoint.
I'm gonna label it
Very nice.
kick-ass as well. I mean, looking back at how people, pundits, the media in general were perceiving Apple in the first few years following Steve Jobs' death, it's really interesting because there were so many people that were looking at that transition between Steve and Tim, and then Steve passing, and so there was no way that he could have any involvement anymore. They were looking at that either as a very negative thing or a positive thing, and seeing how those predictions played out and the reasoning that they had at the time with the information that was available. It's, I mean, it's a really interesting thing.
100%. And I mean, how Johnny Ive was then seen back then, and like how that has changed, like in
Yeah.
the context of Apple especially. So
Yeah,
like
and how much Steve and Johnny were viewed almost as partners, but that didn't seem to be popular knowledge at that time. Steve was always the guy. And while Johnny got plenty of videos in about, the amazing engineering that went into things, I don't think a lot of us appreciated the partnership and the bouncing of ideas off of each other that led to some of the best products.
True.
So
Okay.
there you go. One more thing to get you through the weekend.
Yeah,
All
one
right.
more
Add it to my
thing.
list.
Yeah,
It's true.
okay, so I guess what that means is now the pressure is on me because everyone brought kick-ass things.
Yes.
So
What
hopefully.
Legos do you have, Jeff?
Well, Ben, The Lego kit that I'm bringing you today is the new Pac-Man arcade, which seems incredibly appropriate because we did discuss nostalgia during the show today. So here's the deal. This kit has over 2,600 pieces in it, and you're building an arcade model of the Pac-Man game, and it looks just fantastic. And it even has some, I'll call it animation effects. So it has a crank handle on the side. And when you turn the crank handle, you're actually seeing some of the characters move around on the Lego built display. And it has the push buttons. It has a light effect in it. The joystick moves. It even has the coin slot on it. And as a bonus, when you pop the back panel off, you see the circuit board inside and a little Easter egg of a minifigure size game. And like it's sitting in an arcade. Hmm. So what is it? 2,651 pieces. Cost is $269.99. So that's not far off of my my 10 cents a brick guideline for pricing kits. Mm-hmm. That's pretty close. And if you look at the photos of this, you'll be able to see that it's actually bigger than you think it would be.
Yeah. That looks really impressive. I mean, I'm neither into Lego nor am I old enough to have played Pac-Man, but this looks really cool.
It's really cool, and if I were not in the process of moving and throwing insane amounts of money into the moving process, mm-hmm. I would have already ordered this.
Yeah.
It's really cool. That?
It's quite big.
It yeah, is.
Cool. She said.
Oh my god!
And we've come full circle.
And that's a good way to segue.
Yeah, <that's... laughs> right.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so Ben, there you go. That's the Lego kit that I'm bringing you today. Oh, so Ben, where can people find you?
That's not what she said.
God. Oh, God. Well, people, you can find me at Ben Rithig on your social media of choice, including this T2 thing from,
T2,
the Terminator. You can also find me at Rithig.tech, where I have a brand new article on choosing the Mac Studio versus the Mac Pro. Lastly, you can find me on Chuck's Mac Voices every Tuesday, Dave's In Touch with iOS every Thursday, and the Mac and Big Shows here on the British Tech Network.
Awesome. And Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me every week here on the Mac Show, except for next week. Like on Fridays, also on the Big Show on Thursdays, if you're into the non-Apple side of things. You can find out everything about me, all the social media links, the projects, the podcast, literally everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really cool people talk about food-related stories and memories, then you should head over to foodieflashback.com for my interview show called Foodie Flashback.
Awesome. Foodie Flashback is pretty cool. Everyone go check it out.
Yes, it is.
Also, go read Ben's article, which Ben, please put a link into the chat.
So Jeff.
He just
did. Oh, look. Ben put a link into the chat. Swell. Awesome. Dave, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com, YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios, I'm here on the Mac Show on Fridays. I'm on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night. And I'm on social media everywhere as DaveG65, Mastodon, Twitter, all those fun things. Thanks.
Awesome. And that brings us to you, Chuck. Where can people find you?
MacVoices.com. That's where you'll find me talking to lots of interesting people about all of this stuff, Apple tech, as well as the broader tech universe, with pretty much with everybody here. Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are, on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And of course, we are doing the Road to Mac Stock series right now, along with some other shows, trying to let people know, for those who are able and going to be attending Mac Stock at the end of July, who the speakers are, what they'll be talking about, and let you get to know them a little bit. And on all the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner or at Mac Voices. Ewan, a special message for you. I'm sorry. I try to keep these people in line, but there's just no luck.
No way.
Chuck, you do a surprisingly good job considering the crew you're trying to wrangle.
Well, that's, yeah, they're, I mean, I guess you're only as good as your ingredients. Yeah.
Yes. And you have a herd of wild Mustangs here.
Wild something.
Yep. Okay.
Cats or like that.
Yeah.
Cameo appearances.
Yep. A magic man in the chat room says kettle pot black. They're calling me out. That's fair. All right. So you can find me on the various socials as Jay Gamut, Mastodon and Instagram mostly. And then shows that crazy group that Chuck has to wrangle on Tuesdays, Mac Voices Live. I'm in that group. Then on Thursdays, Dave has to do the same and does an amazing job of wrangling us on In Touch with iOS. Then here on the Big Show on Thursdays, also here on the Mac Show on Fridays, and then the Context Machine. Brian Chaffin and I do that pretty much every week as well. And I think that's all the stuff for right now. And Chuck, you brought up Mac Stock coming up in July. And yes, your series, Road to Mac Stock, is great. And I'm looking forward to seeing your presentation. Dave, you're going to be there. I'm looking forward to seeing your presentation as well. So if you're coming over for Mac Stock from wherever it is in the world, definitely looking forward to seeing all of you. Should be a fun time. Did any of us drop a link to Mac Stock into the chat? I bet it's about to happen if it hasn't.
It's going to happen.
See, okay, so while that's happening, I will say thank you to all of you for being so awesome and making me smile today, just as you do every single week. I genuinely look forward to doing RBTN shows so that I can hang out with all of you awesome people. You rock. And all of you that are here with us live, watching, listening, participating in the live chat, thank you for being here. It's awesome that you've been a part of this today. Everyone that watches or listens to the show recordings later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. We appreciate all of you, even if you're time shifted. Doesn't matter. And thank you to TSO Hosts for being here and supporting us. Give them some online love. And Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, feel better. And thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And with that, I believe it's time for me to say, don't forget to tune in next Thursday for the Big Show. Join us again on Friday for the Mac Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.